the KJV that I like to call the King Jesus Version is the God-promised, perfect, and only Holy Bible, and it is the strategic center of Christian or Messianic faith and doctrine. And it's time that you get this straight. You must get this straight, because otherwise your faith cannot possibly be what it ought to be. Because if you don't get this straight, you're going to be short on what you need. And what you need in this time is faith. And the other thing, if you don't get this straight, is you are setting yourself up to be deceived. Yes, if you don't get this straight, you are setting yourself up to be easily deceived. Something is wrong when we see different Bibles being used and passed off as scripture from rabbis, teachers, scholars, pastors, and evangelists. Something is wrong. I know a lot of Muslims. I know a lot of ignorant Muslims. But I'll tell you this, you'll never find a Muslim so ignorant as not to laugh at Christians with their different Bibles. The Muslim will be very quick to tell you there could not be any such thing as different Qurans. And you can't argue that point unless you know that the KJV is the God-promised, perfect, and only Holy Bible. There are some questions that need to be asked of those people who have been bound in a very subtle vanity trap of Satan. That's what it is. They don't know that their otherwise brilliant mind has been ensnared in a very subtle vanity trap. I'm going to try and help you through it. That's my duty. That's my duty of love. I'm going to ask some things, simple questions, like, what is Scripture? Good, simple question. What is the Bible? Good, simple question. What is your final authority? Do believers believe that no translation is inspired? Do believers believe that? That no translation is inspired? These are important questions that need to be asked of the professors and holders of different Bibles. And it truly is a duty of Christian or Messianic love to ask such important questions to any pseudo-scholar who would promote the use of different Bibles. And these questions do demand an answer if we would love someone indeed and in truth who does not know the difference between the KJV Holy Bible and all of the many profaned Bibles. It's often said only the original autographs were inspired. You ever heard anybody say that? Only the original autographs were inspired. That's often to be heard from so-called scholars and pseudo-scholars. Only the original autographs were inspired. Believers would certainly agree that the original autographs back when they existed would have been classified as scripture, meaning inspired by God. But everyone knows that those manuscripts no longer exist. The original autographs have probably not existed for at least 1800 years. However, the Bible still uses the words scripture and scriptures. Those are words found in the Bible. And most importantly, 2 Timothy 3:16 says all scripture, okay? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Believers know what inspiration is and what inspiration is not. Believers know that. So the question is an important question. And the question needs an answer to the holder of any original autograph only inspired mind. I'm talking about a type of mind bound in a vanity trap. A brilliant mind, mind you. I'm going to call this brilliant mind bound in a very subtle trap of Satan. I'm going to call this brilliant mind, I'm going to label it an original autograph-only inspired mind. Will you allow me that? Let me call it that, because that's what it is. And I'm going to ask that original autographed-only inspired mind the question, what is Scripture? If only the original autographs were inspired, then one must conclude that all Scripture refers to the original autographs. How could something which did not exist at the time Paul wrote those words be profitable to anyone for any purpose? The verses before that, the verse right before that, verse 15, proves that Timothy knew the Scriptures. Did Timothy know the original autographs? Did Timothy have them in his possession? Did Timothy see them somewhere and learn them? And in Luke 4:21, Jesus himself began to say unto them, "This day is this Scripture fulfilled in your ears." Did the synagogue in Nazareth have the original autograph of Isaiah? In John 5:39, we also find Jesus say, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Was Jesus telling those people to search the original autographs? How would anyone know if the Scriptures were fulfilled if the original autographs had crumbled into dust centuries before? How then could John write in John 19:36, "For these things were done that the Scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken"? In Acts 8:32, when Philip was sent to meet with the Ethiopian eunuch, Philip found the Ethiopian was reading something called Scripture. Acts 8:32. The place of the Scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth." How can anyone who believes only the original autographs were inspired explain how this guy from Ethiopia got his hands on the original autograph of the book of Isaiah? Why did the synagogue in Nazareth ever give the original autograph of Isaiah to him? And what about those more noble folk in Berea, up in Acts 17:11? These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Did those Bereans make a deal? Or did they steal the original autographs from the synagogue in Nazareth? The fact that the synagogue in Nazareth got their hands on the original autograph of Isaiah should totally blow the lid off of any original autograph-only inspired mind. How could the original autograph-only inspired minds possibly think that the synagogue in Nazareth gave or sold the original autographs to this Ethiopian? Could the original autograph-only inspired minds believe that he stole them from them? Yes, the Bereans represent a big problem for the original autograph-only inspired minds, because clearly, these Bereans had all of the original autographs of the Old Testament. Wow! Now that should sure be something for the original autograph-only inspired mind to think about. And if the Bereans had them all, what did the Ethiopian eunuch have? If the original autograph-only inspired minds have not yet been totally boggled, here's a couple more things to consider. Matthew 21:42, Jesus saith unto them, "Did you never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes." Did the chief priests and elders need to go to Berea or Nazareth or Ethiopia to search? Matthew 22:29, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God." Did those Sadducees need to go to Berea or Nazareth or Ethiopia to fix their error? Mark 12:10, "And have you not read this Scripture? The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner." Did those chief priests and scribes and elders need to go to Berea, Nazareth, or Ethiopia to read the Scripture? And who was on watch or got paid by those Bereans or Nazarenes or Ethiopians when they took possession of those original autographs? Mark 12:24, "And Jesus answering unto them, do you not believe do you not therefore err because you know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? Did those Sadducees need to go to Berea, Nazareth, or Ethiopia to search? Luke 24:27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Berea, Nazareth, or Ethiopia? John 2:22. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Okay? Berea, Nazareth, or Ethiopia? John 7:38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Berea, Nazareth, or Ethiopia? John 19:37. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they have pierced. Berea, Nazareth, or Ethiopia? John 20:9. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Berea, Nazareth, or Ethiopia? How could these people check out or know the scriptures if they had crumbled into dust centuries earlier? Maybe this can help the original autographed only inspired mind. Luke 24:32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Of course, believers know that Jesus had the original autographs with him by perfect memory, if nothing else, for his name is called the Word of God. Still, we do see in Luke 24:45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Had they been to Berea, Ethiopia? Nah, probably Nazareth. I hope you're getting the picture. I hope you're beginning to see something here. I'm not playing a game with you. I'm trying to help you. I want you to be in the big church of the firstborn. It's going to be set up sooner than most people think. I want you to be in that big 3,600 square mile big church of the firstborn that our King's going to set up on Mount Zion. And your faith is not where it should be. I'm sorry. Somebody needs to love you enough to tell you that straight up. Your faith cannot possibly be where it should be. You've been ensnared in a very, very, very subtle vanity trap. And I hope that original autograph only inspired mind can see how important and very relevant is the question of what is scripture. And those giving serious consideration to the question will have to at least come up with a euphemism for original autographs if they would expect anyone to believe that their original autograph only inspired mind is functional. No. The disciples on the road to Emmaus did not mail the original autographs to Berea, Ethiopia, or even Nazareth after they understood them. Every believer should see the problem with the original autograph only inspired mind. If 2 Timothy 3:16 says that only the original autographs were inspired, then how could one explain all those other places where that word scripture or scriptures is found in the Bible? So, inspired scripture cannot possibly mean only the original autographs. We are constrained by the duty of love to ask, even if the original autograph only inspired mind has a PhD, a DD, a THD, and some postdoctorals on top of those, what is scripture? That's a very important question. What is scripture? Believers know that there are no contradictions in the Bible. Believers know that. Believers know that there are no contradictions in the Bible. There are paradoxes, to be sure, which may on the surface appear to be contradictory, yet the Holy Spirit of truth can reveal to us how that it really is a paradox, and both are actually true. And often those who do not know the KJV is the Holy Bible, the meaning very definite article, they point to verses such as John 19:38 and 1 Corinthians 11:24 to suggest that the King James Bible has contradictions in it. John 19:36, for these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And 1 Corinthians 11:24, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now, I do take both of those statements as absolute pure truth, for which most believers can easily see the paradox is not a contradiction. If someone says that because I do believe them both to be true, then I must conclude that the KJV authorized version is not the Holy Bible, then I must again be duty-bound to ask the one who does not believe the KJV is the Holy Bible, what is the Bible? What is the Bible? And that's an important question. What is the Bible? If the KJV, which I like to call the King Jesus Version, is not the Holy Bible, then what is? The NASV, the NIV, the RSV, the NKJV, the NRSV, the LB, the NEB, the ASV, the RV, any of the 100 plus, actually almost 200 English translations we have that appeared on the market in the last 100 years? Or is it Nestle's 23rd or Nestle's 26th? Is it Westcott and Hart's text? Is it the Beza text, the Stephanus text, the Erasmus text, the Old Latin? How about Jerome's Vulgate? How about the Douay Rheims? How about the Jerusalem Bible, the New Jerusalem Bible? How about the Message, the New Politically Correct Bible? How about the New Sodomite Bible? What is the Holy Bible? That's the question. What is the definite article, Holy Bible? I know God promised the Holy Bible. Can I get one? Can I hold one in my hands? If not, can I see one in a museum somewhere? Is there a seminary or a monastery someplace where I could get one to go and see one? Has anybody ever seen one? Is the book carried to and from the pulpit the Bible? That's a good question. Is it? Is it the Holy Bible or is it a profane Bible? And to me it matters, and it should matter to you, if you believe he hath made us priests and kings unto God, because the duty of a priest is to separate the holy from the profane. I can trust the KJV as the Holy Bible. It is the book that I will carry whenever I will speak to anyone, believer or not believer. I won't speak from any other thing called a Bible. And the question is, it the book that's carried to and from the pulpit where you go listen? And that's an important question, a whole lot more important than a lot of people know. If it is, then what are those other books in the church pews? If your book is the KJV Holy Bible, then those with NIVs cannot be. They are different from the KJV Holy Bible. I can give you 17 verses in my KJV that you simply could not find in your NIV. It ain't there. How can you say it's the same? It's not. It's not. Oh, you can call it pride. Let me tell you something about pride. You would say, I know about pride. You would say, I'm proud, right? I know something about pride. God told me something about pride. You want to know something true about pride? It's impossible to make the accusation without the affliction. How about that? Yeah, I got that truth from God. It's impossible to make the accusation without the affliction. Glory to God. I want to tell you something. If one finds passages in the Holy Bible that are not inspired, then one becomes his own authority. And see, this is what people really want to do. They want to become their own authority. They want to gather disciples after themselves. And now we're coming to the real question that is the bottom line. You see, if one finds passages in the Holy Bible that are not inspired, then one becomes his own authority. Believers know that any errors or contradictions one finds in the Holy Bible could not be inspired by God. In referring to errors or contradictions, we're not talking about the many paradoxes in the Holy Bible. We're not talking about verses that appear to be contradictory at first reading without proper study. And that's why believers who have studied to show themselves approved unto God on the subject of the Holy Bible, way more often than not, carry and use only the KJV Holy Bible. When someone believes that they have found an error or a contradiction in the Holy Bible, the believer is then duty-bound to ask such a one if he believes himself to be his own final authority. You see, and this is the real bottom line. People do not want the final authority of the Word of God bringing conviction by the Holy Ghost. They do not want to have a final authority. They want to be their own final authority. Can you really think of anything more presumptuous than to presume to judge or change or correct the Word of God? God forbid. Satan is the original Bible corrector. So we come to this real question of substance now. What is your final authority? And you see, those with the original autograph-only inspired mind do not have a final authority. They either do not want to have a final authority, or they may, the pseudo-scholars or so-called scholars, may want you to think them to be your final authority rather than God, the Word of God, and the Spirit of Truth. You see, if one were to find errors, contradictions, poor translations, unfortunate renderings, or things lost in translation, would not such a one be his own final authority? Yes, of course. Faithful ministers of the gospel will admonish everyone to whom they can minister to believe the Bible. They will admonish all to believe the Bible in the face of all critics. If the KJV Holy Bible has mistakes, contradictions, poor translations, faulty renderings, then it cannot be the Holy Bible. All other books that I have seen that are presumed to be the Holy Bible are different than the KJV Holy Bible. Believers must believe the Word of God, or else they're not believers. Believers are not their own authority. And you see, this is the real question. This is the real essence of the issue. What is your final authority? And without that KJV being known as the very Word of God, the God promised perfect and only Holy Bible, they do not have a final authority. And usually they don't want a final authority. Nevertheless, the duty of love constrains me to ask anyone having any other Bible than the KJV Holy Bible, what is the Holy Bible? And what is your final authority? No, it's not true that no translation is inspired. If it were true that no translation is inspired, that would make 280 verses in the New Testament to be not inspired. Yes, I counted 280 verses that even in the long non-existent original autographs were Greek translations of the Hebrew Old Testament. I hope you can see just from this that anyone saying no translation is inspired is either very confused, unlearned, or in fact, not a believer. How could someone who professes that no translation is inspired possibly reconcile the God-promised verbal inspiration and preservation of the New Testament with the 280 verses of the Hebrew Old Testament, which are found in the Greek New Testament? However, there's much more proof from the Word of God how that the translation is better than the original. Yes, better. Are Exodus chapters 5 through 11 inspired? That's a good, valid question for those who would say, just give me Torah, because no translation is inspired. All of the conversations in Exodus chapters 5 through 11, which took place between Moses and Pharaoh, were in Egyptian. And yet when Moses wrote the book of Exodus, all those conversations were translations into Hebrew. They were all translations. And the same is true of Genesis 42 with Joseph in Egypt. He spoke Egyptian to hide his identity from his brothers. However, the only record of what was said in Egyptian was the Hebrew translation which Moses wrote. The Word of God said Paul spoke by permission of the Roman captive to the mob trying to kill him coming out of the temple in Hebrew. The Word of God says so. The only record written of what Paul said in Hebrew was written in Greek translation. The same is true when the Lord spoke to Paul after knocking him off his high horse on the road to Damascus. The only record of what the Lord said to Paul in Hebrew, and the Bible tells us he spoke to him in Hebrew, was recorded in a Greek translation. However, the better, and to me even the best record, of all such translations, and every word which has come from the inspiration of God in the Scripture, is the KJV Holy Bible. There are more scripture proofs of how the translation not only can be as inspired as the original, but proven to be better. We should quickly be able to call to mind the decrees of Artaxerxes and Darius and Nebuchadnezzar. They did not speak Hebrew. However, what they said is recorded in translation in Hebrew in Daniel and Esther. And the best record in plain English of the decrees, to me, is the KJV Holy Bible. Not only are translations inspired, but the Word of God proves that the translation actually is better than the original, because in many cases the original never became an autograph, original or otherwise, and was never recorded except in translation. Yes, many of the fabled original autographs were translations. Who would want to say that what Peter said in Acts 2 was not inspired? Every man heard what Peter was saying in his own language. Not inspired? What about the sign that was nailed on the cross that consisted of Latin, Greek, and Hebrew? At least two of those had to be translations. Not inspired? And Matthew 27:48, Jesus cried out in Aramaic. And in the very same verse, even the original autograph, there was given the translation. Do the no inspired translation professors want us to believe that Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani is inspired, but Themio, Themio, initi me eglepsis is not inspired because it's a translation? Are you sure? Do the no inspired translation professors want us to believe that Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani is inspired, but Themio, Themio, initi me eglepsis is not inspired because it's a translation? Are you sure no translation can be inspired? Hopefully, the folly of such an idea has already been proven. It's amazing to me that people who would present themselves to be any sort of expert or even a believer, his inspiration of any translation. He has clearly made the point, whether it be Egyptian to Hebrew, Hebrew to Greek, or Greek to English, or any other translation. There is nothing which, in fact, would or should prohibit God from giving the world an inspired English translation to be used during the 400 years or so before his son's second coming in a world whose international language is English. In fact, that's just like the God we should know, who provided an international language of Greek when Messiah came the first time. What prevents or prohibits him from even considering such a project? Only an original autographed, only inspired mind would think so absurdly. Believers know better. This Neanderthal, troglodyte, internationally outrageous, KJV-onlyite would encourage you to be a believer, both a hearer and a doer of the Word of God, and pray that the Jews would stop avoiding the book of Daniel and study it. They may then be moved to read the New Testament and hear how God speaks to His people in these last days. Do you know how God speaks to His people in these last days? That's why a lot of people don't like the book of Hebrews, because they don't like God's final authority. I tell you this, whether you like God's final authority or not, God is the final authority, and His word is forever settled in heaven. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whose name is called the Word of God. God has by no means been silent since Malachi. We should know how God is speaking by his Son to his people every day. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray Psalm 83 every day. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.